Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This GX on Agriculture podcast is brought to you by Haas Nissan in Yorkton.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
GX on Agriculture with Doug Falconer.
Good afternoon and welcome to GX on Agriculture. Coming up on today's program, the weekly Saskatchewan Crop Report is out. We will hear from Provincial Crops Extension Specialist Matt Struthers on that. It was an active evening of weather for West Central Saskatchewan Tuesday night after Environment Canada confirmed three tornado touchdowns in an area between Rosetown and Kindersley. We'll speak with the treasurer of the Western Canadian Wheat Growers Association, Jim Wickett, who farms southeast of Rosetown. Consumer trends in meat consumption were the focus of a presentation during the Saskatchewan Stock Growers Association virtual annual meeting Tuesday. We will hear from that woman who was actually speaking virtually from Florida. And this is the second day for Canada's Farm Show in a virtual format. We'll speak with the agricultural manager for the Regina Exhibition Association, Shirley Genesco, about how the morning went and what's on tap for this afternoon. All that and much more coming up on today's edition of GX on Agriculture. First, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
With Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Phil, it's sunny and windy here once again. Is it a case of what we see is what we get once again?
Yeah, there is a little difference the next couple of days, but at least through the afternoon today and for most of tonight, we're going to still be in this very dry air mass. But we've been watching a couple of factors, the one being the wind and one being the humidity. And today is the lowest dew point we've had through this warm and windy stretch. Winds this afternoon, 30, 45, gusting as high as 60 kilometers per hour. Dew point down in the low single numbers. So with the temperature coming up through the mid-20s, we're not going to rise too much more through the day, but we're still dealing with humidity that will for a while be under 25%. So we're certainly watching elevated fire concern for today. There's more moisture coming in the next few days. Now, there is a chance that a shower develops tonight. The odds against those showers are significant because we still have the dry air. The dew point will be coming up. It'll very gradually rise back through the single numbers. But even later on tonight, our temperature gets down to 12. Our dew point just starts to come up 7, 8, maybe 9. So humidity is up. But it's just not enough time for a lot of showers to form. I think a few of us may get a brief shower or sprinkle, mostly light. We're not talking much as far as measurable goes, but there will be a few around, not going to rule them out. Temperature again down to 12. Amounts of rainfall tonight, negligible. The wind will ease up a bit, though. The strongest winds this afternoon, we'll start to see them come down. Not a sharp drop-off through the evening by any means. There's still a breeze 20 to 40 through the first half of the night. But after midnight, toward morning, we start getting into more of 15 to 25, more of a manageable wind through the day tomorrow. Likely a few higher gusts, though, too. Best chance for showers in the early morning tomorrow. The same threat through the later nighttime continues through tomorrow. During the day, we'll get back into partial sunshine, though, the high around 20. In fact, we may get into a completely sunny sky for a time tomorrow afternoon before cloud cover rolls in again. Friday night and Saturday, cloud will be increasing. The wind will start to pick up again through the day Saturday. The low is 10, the high 22. The showers Saturday become more likely. Daytime chance of rain at 40%, but will increase that into Saturday night. almost could call it likely, 60-70% chance of showers through Saturday night, and better chance for actually measurable rainfall, anywhere from 4 to 8 millimeters, looks like, from the showers Saturday evening. It's a cold air mass dropping in. Behind these showers, we clear back out to a partly to mostly sunny sky on Sunday, but the wind picks up, and the temperature is only 18. I actually drop back through the afternoon. Watch, in fact, Sunday night. I don't think everybody has this concern, but there will be some areas that do get down to the low single numbers. We'll actually be watching what I say at this point is a low frost potential, but worth watching over the next few days. Monday, we start to get right back out of this air mass. It only lasts about 18 hours or so that we're in this cold air, which means by Monday, we're back to 20. Not much difference from Sunday. The difference will be at night. We don't drop off quite as much at night as we start to recover back above, back to near or above normal into next week.
That's Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Temperatures around the region this hour, the Paw is at 21 degrees, Swan River, Show Lake Russell and Roblin, 23, Dauphin and Brandon, 25. Regina and Indian Head are at 23 degrees, Saskatoon, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, 20, Hudson Bay, 21, Broadview, Mooseman, 24. The Yorkton-Melville region has a mainly sunny sky, a west wind at 39, gusting to 67 kilometers an hour. 29% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 23 degrees. Yesterday, Yorkton reached a high of 27 degrees and dropped to a low of 15 degrees. There was no precipitation recorded in the 24-hour period ending at midnight last night. The normal high for this date is 22 degrees. The normal low is 10 degrees. The sun rose at 4:34 this morning, and it will set at 9:08 tonight. Extreme temperatures for Manitoba and Saskatchewan yesterday. The Manitoba hotspot was the national hotspot. Gretna got up to 33 degrees. The cold spot was Churchill at plus 2. The Saskatchewan hotspot yesterday was Hudson Bay at 27 degrees. The cold spot Kindersley at 8 degrees. And that's a look at your agriculture weather. Let's check in now with Danny Isman. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. Saskatchewan's weekly crop report was released this morning. Provincial Crops Extension Specialist Matt Struthers says seeding is now complete.
Yeah, seeding's complete for the province. There might be a few areas where, you know, some dry dugouts are being seeded to green feed, but other than that, no, seeding's all done, and now we're just waiting for some warmer days and some hopefully some good rains.
How are topsoil moisture conditions province-wide?
Due to the heavy rains we had from last week, topsoil moisture actually increased across the province. For cropland, we're sitting at 2% surplus, 72% adequate, 23% short, and 3% very short. Hay and pasture is faring a little less than that. It's sitting at 1% surplus, 61% adequate, 30% short, and 8% very short. So, you know, still pretty good, but the pastures and hayland need a little bit more moisture to keep growing and make sure that their yields are near average.
Were there some heavy rains in parts of the province last week?
Yeah, down southwest of Moose Jaw around Old Wives Lake, we received the most. So just northeast of Old Wives, there is some very heavy localized rainfall Tuesday night, and then again on Thursday and Friday, and my one reporter got 208 mils of rain over those 3 days, which is a lot of rain to have over a short period of time, and he said there was quite a bit of damage, but he still appreciated the moisture.
How are the crops developing right now?
Provincially, they're doing pretty good. 70% of fall cereals, 76% of spring cereals, 66% of oilseed crops, and 78% of pulses are at their normal stages of development. And, you know, there's some areas where they're a little bit more behind or maybe a little bit ahead, but it all depends on where you are and the conditions you're sitting in.
So are the winter cereals struggling?
They haven't looked very good. They just didn't get the moisture that they needed early on in the spring, so I assume a lot of them were reseeded to something else, or just held on and to see what they could get. But overall, very poor.
Is much spraying getting done?
Yeah, unfortunately, the past week and coming into this week is super windy, and that's just not good for spraying. So a lot of guys had to wait, which is unfortunate because now with the moisture we're getting, weeds are becoming much more of a problem. They're able to compete more, and insects are allowed to eat whatever they want crop-wise. So hopefully the wind dies down and the temperature stays at a nice level and guys can get out there spraying. A lot of fields have been sprayed once already, but a lot of producers would like to get out there and do a second pass.
What are pasture conditions like?
Yeah, cattle are out. Producers are busy finishing up branding and vaccinating. There's the pastures aren't in perfect condition by no means. But for the moment, they're able to support cattle, and with more rainfall over the summer, they should be able to carry cattle right into the fall, and hopefully hay yields are good enough for good winter feed supplies.
Matt Struthers compiles the weekly crop report for the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture. It's now 12:30 in Saskatchewan, 1:30 in Manitoba. It's time for the AgriView portion of our program. That's a presentation of Peebles Machine and Welding in Yorkton.
GX94, AgriView.
Wet weather on the prairies and U.S. northern plains has brought downward pressure on ICE futures canola prices, taking the market off the contract highs hit in early June. While precipitation or the potential of it falling over canola growing areas in western Canada and the U.S. has caused canola prices to fall, the sentiment among market participants hasn't exactly tracked with current crop conditions. The vegetable oil market, primarily soy oil and palm oil, is also in free fall, and that has brought additional pressure onto canola prices. Why the vegetable oil market is going down is anyone's guess. However, analysts say there is still room for canola prices to drop in coming weeks should there be a rainy recurrence. They also reiterate canola is currently in a weather market contingent on the next forecast and now focus solely on new crop. BHP Group expects to present its board with a decision on whether to proceed with its Jansen Potash project in Saskatchewan in a few months' time rather than mid-year, after choosing between two port options. The world's biggest miner has estimated the project at Jansen, about 45 kilometers southeast of Humboldt, would cost up to $5.7 billion U.S. in its first phase. The project offers diversification into agriculture markets given that potash is a key element in plant nutrition that also makes crops more drought-resistant. They are considering two options in terms of the port. One is a commercial option at the Port of Vancouver, and one is a greenfield option. The miner expects the project will take 5 years to develop and have an annual production capacity of around 4.4 million metric tons of potash in its first phase. It will have capacity for an additional 12 million metric tons in stages thereafter for a life of 100 years. The Canadian Western Agribition's scholarship program is now open for applications. The program, intended to provide financial support and incentive to young people in order to pursue post-secondary and graduate education, is open to students in their second or subsequent year in programs at least 2 years in duration. Applicants must be passionate about agriculture and have participated in Agribition, including but not limited to all livestock classes, 4-H classes, and active trade exhibits. Each year, Agribition offers three scholarships and awards for young adults: the Canadian Western Agribition Scholarship, the Barry Andrew Family Award, and the William M. Farley Memorial Award. Funding for the program is derived from a variety of Canadian Western Agribition activities, as well as from recognized outside contributions. The application deadline is October 1st of this year. Successful applications will be contacted by November 15th. And that's a look at the AgriView portion of our program. Let's head back out now to Danny Ismail.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Falconer. It's mainly sunny and 23 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. It was an active evening of weather for West Central Saskatchewan Tuesday night after Environment Canada confirmed three tornado touchdowns in an area between Rosetown and Kindersley. Western Canadian Wheat Growers Association Treasurer Jim Wickett farms southeast of Rosetown and says he missed the brunt of it.
Well, we just got a little sprinkle of rain and of course, the wind and that with it, but west of Rosetown and then it ventured off to the north of there. That's where the main funnel cloud, and I guess it was a tornado because it was certainly on the ground. That's where that took place, and I'm hearing, you know, various kind of reports of grain bins overturned and a little bit of, you know, damage to shop roofs and that kind of thing. So certainly a little scary, but not a big surprise when the temperature gets that hot and whatnot. You got to be on the lookout for that.
So after the extreme heat and wind, how are crops looking in that Rosetown area?
Well, I think temporarily they're really slow. I hope they're growing underground because they're not really growing above. But they're coming. They seem to be behind. You know, we had a nice early start, but we've lost that advantage. And to me, they look like they're quite a bit behind. Canola and flax in particular are two that are pretty small for this time of year.
Have producers been able to do any herbicide applications?
Yeah, guys are doing a bit. You know, myself, you get up early, you get a tank or two done. You find something else to do for the day and you kind of hang around the yard till 8 o'clock and go do another one or two. So it gets done, but it's not done at the pace we'd like it. And, you know, like this morning I woke up early and the wind was howling already, so... Today is pretty much a write-off, so hopefully Friday we can get a big day in.
The wind is as big of an issue as the moisture level now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, it's just when you're putting, you know, herbicides on and there's so many susceptible crops around, you know, it's just a concern and, you know, you got to be, you know, it's good neighbor policy to not kill the neighbor's crop, so that's an issue. And the only good thing is, like I said, is crops aren't growing at a really great pace right now. So we're not getting outstaged on too much stuff, but it's starting to get more worrisome all the time.
Jim Wickett is treasurer of the Western Canadian Wheat Growers Association, and he farms southeast of Rosetown. It's time now for the livestock market conditions. They're a presentation of Heartland Livestock in Yorkton.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for August closed at 121.10 today. That's down 382. October live cattle closed at 126.57, down 340. August feeder cattle closed at 157.40, down 30. September feeder cattle closed at 159.10, down 70. July lean hogs closed at 111 even, down 450. August lean hogs closed at 107.20, also down 450. And that's the livestock market conditions. Now it's time for the Heartland Livestock Report. From Yorkton. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. Consumer trends in meat consumption were the focus of a presentation during the Saskatchewan Stock Growers Association virtual annual meeting Tuesday. Anne-Marie Rohrink is the founder of 210 Analytics based in Florida, who specializes in customized market research, data analysis, and marketing strategies. She told delegates it's important for livestock producers to talk about what they do.
you know, it's really important for us to bring out all the positives and everything that we do as an industry and we do right, so that people don't assume that animals have a horrible life and don't assume that beef is bad. And oftentimes, you know, as a producer, you might think, well, that's not my job, that's the retailer's job. But I think actually the consumers want to hear it from all of you. So the more we can be involved in that discussion, the better, we think.
Rohrink says ground meat continues to be a popular consumer choice, but as marketing has changed, there has been an opportunity to try something new.
I think we have a lot of opportunity to see so much growth in ribs and roasts, which was something that a lot of young shoppers were afraid of because it took too long or that's grandma's meal. I think a lot of people have figured out that ribs can be hip and they're wonderful. And, you know, those have become cuts that have done extremely well. So I think we have great opportunity to move some different items because, yeah, ground beef is huge. And it's something that everybody likes to buy. It's easy to make. It's versatile. But at the end of the day, everybody else is trying to get in on that ground game. And you know, it's not a way to differentiate very easily. So I do think if we're able to really educate the consumer rather than dumbing down the product, I think we have a big opportunity to grow sales further.
One trend during the pandemic saw ranchers selling beef directly to consumers. Rohrink says it's not a new concept, but it really took off and it continues to do very well.
I've had wholesalers that were selling to restaurants that business collapsed overnight, and they set up a consumer site and they sold as much or more. There was a restaurant right here in Lakeland, Florida that had all the beef inventory and didn't want it to go to waste. So he turned his chefs into butchers and turned his waiters into like order takers, if you will. And he ended up selling more beef as a butcher shop than he ever did as a restaurant. And he actually continued that after the restaurant started to open back up. And so I think there is absolute opportunity for producers to find different ways of selling, including consumer direct.
Rohrink says it comes down to being transparent. Sustainability, including animal welfare and social responsibility, drives interest and dollars.
The bottom line is there's a lot of people who feel a little bit guilty about eating meat, whether that's because they don't think it's very healthy for them, because of the animal, whatever it is. And our best bet is not to figure out ways where we produce differently. It's about taking that guilt away by showing them that everything we do should not need to cause any guilt. And I think some brands and some retailers have done really well in that by saying, you know what, we only purchase from producers that we know and trust. And as such, you know, the consumer trusts the retailer trusts you. And so that's, I think, a system that works much better than all these tiny little niches, which are not going to be the answer in the long run.
Anne-Marie Rohrink of 210 Analytics was a presenter at the Saskatchewan Stockgrowers Association annual meeting on Tuesday. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will return in 1 minute's time. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Falconer. Canadian wheat and durum exports are running well ahead of last year's pace. The latest numbers are 17.2 million metric tons for wheat, compared to 14.6 million 1 year ago. The major buyers are China, Indonesia, Peru, Japan, Colombia, and Bangladesh. Durum exports are 24% ahead of last year at 5.4 million metric tons. The main customers are Italy, Algeria, and Morocco. Meantime, the U.S. Department of Agriculture released its outlook a few days ago, and Marlena Borsch with Mercantile Consulting Venture had these observations.
We think the USDA number for the EU is optimistic, and the Russian crop seems to be overstated. The USDA left Russian and Kazakh production numbers unchanged from last month, but Russian spring wheat is still under threat from heat and dryness, and the Kazakh crop is even more so stressed. The USDA did not account for crop losses in northern Africa.
She recommends staying the course if you have wheat on farm.
As a staple food, wheat looks cheap to us, so until the supply-demand picture is clearer, we prefer to store wheat.
As for freight rates,
there's some worrisome developments in the freight markets, where rates are soaring and vessels are hard to fix, and we are not even facing harvest pressure yet.
Marlena Borsch does a weekly report on the Sask Wheat website. It's now 12:50 in Saskatchewan, 1:50 in Manitoba. It's time for the Commodities Update, and that's a presentation of Ray Nordine, your REMAX Bridge City Realty agent.
Commodities Update.
Canola futures closed down across the board today. July canola closed at $787.10. That's down $30 per metric ton. November canola closed at $666.40, also down $30 per metric ton. July Minneapolis wheat closed at $7.51 and a quarter, down 9 cents. July Kansas City wheat closed at $5.85 and a quarter, down 25 and a half cents. July Chicago wheat closed at $6.39 per bushel, down 23 and three quarters of a cent. July corn closed at $6.33 per bushel, down 40 cents. July soybeans closed at $13.29 and three quarters, down 1.18 and three quarters of a cent. July oats closed at $3.65 and three quarters, down 9 and a half cents. And that's the commodities update. This is the second day for Canada's Farm Show in a virtual format. The agricultural manager for the Regina Exhibition Association, Shirley Genesco, says there has been a tremendous amount of farm interest in the various agricultural features.
Well, we've had a fantastic day today already. It's our focus is international business. And as we all know, Canada's Farm Show traditionally attracts many qualified buyers from all over the world. So having our show virtual, we're excited to continue on with that collaboration with those international buyers. And we've had over 50 countries show interest in our virtual event as of today. So we're pretty excited about that.
And just how are they involved?
They log in and they watch. They also have an opportunity to chat with our exhibitors that we have participating in our virtual events. So there's lots of dialogue going on between the exhibitors and the international people as well.
So what were some of the events scheduled for this morning?
Well, we just got done talking to the Consulate General of Canada to Dubai, as well as the UAE Ambassador to Canada on the future of food technology in the UAE. And seeing that Canada or Saskatchewan has just signed a trade agreement with the UAE to set up an office there. So it's just a really interesting topic and bring some light to that whole, why that event is taking place, why we're setting up the trade offices there. So that was a great feature this morning. We also had a feature on agronomy this morning, which was very knowledgeable, one on increased revenue and sustainability, and then the power of digitization in ag. And this was a real focus on digitalization for our farmers. So that's a pretty interesting topic too. And then water as an economic driver was another feature we had. So moving into the afternoon, we're going to be talking about mental health. And I do believe right now, just before noon, is Thomas Benjo is presenting. And then in the afternoon, we move into the Right Honorable Stephen Harper, as well as Lord Conrad Black.
The United Arab Emirates has become a major buyer of Saskatchewan products, including canola.
That's correct, absolutely. And they do address that in their presentation, so definitely something to watch.
How can producers watch any of these presentations if they didn't get a chance to see them live?
They can go onto our website at www.canadasfarmshow.com, and you can just log into any of these sessions there and watch them on demand at your convenience.
How long will the videos be available?
It'll be available indefinitely, likely until we start posting information for our 2022 show. So I just want to also make sure to give a plug to the 24-hour Startup AgTech Challenge. That wraps up our day today at 3 o'clock. They've got five fantastic issues that they've got up to a couple of hundred people working on these challenges to find a solution for some of the issues. We'll be presenting this at 3 o'clock today and be giving away up to $7,000 in prizes. So it's a sure thing to watch at 3 p.m. this afternoon.
And what are the challenges?
We've had five great ideas come to surface of all the ideas submitted. And one is a cryptocurrency backed by a managed land bank. One would be an Alexa for chickens, and I won't say any more about that. Definitely something to watch. One would be CogniGrow and giving a voice to plants. There's an issue about saltwater fishing in Saskatchewan, and then Intel Farmer is a site to recommend the best crops for farmers to grow for their soil conditions. So these are five of the top issues that the this AgTech Challenge is going to be presenting this afternoon.
Shirley Ginescu is the Agricultural Manager for the Regina Exhibition Association. Canada's Farm Show two-day virtual event wraps up today, but the information is available on demand for the rest of the year on the Farm Show website. It's time to check in once again now with Danny.
Farm Bulletin Board.
Just a couple of reminders that it's with great regret that due to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic and current government health restrictions, the Yorkton Exhibition Association has announced the cancellation of the 2021 Summer Fair and Outdoor Rodeo for a second straight year. After much discussion and review of the current government guidelines, along with the unfortunate notice from West Coast Amusements Midway that they will not be touring this year, the Yorkton Exhibition Board of Directors had to make that difficult decision. Meanwhile, it also comes with a heavy heart that the Swan River Valley Agricultural Society is once again announcing the cancellation of the 2021 Northwest Roundup and Exhibition in Swan River. After many discussions and in review of government guidelines, the board recently made this difficult decision. And that's all the time we have for today's Farm Bulletin Board. It's now 1 o'clock in Saskatchewan, 2 o'clock in Manitoba. Time to check the GX94 Precision Weather Forecast. For the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today. Sunny skies, winds west-northwest at 30 to 60, and a high of 25 degrees. For tonight, cloudy, winds west-northwest at 20 to 40, a low of 12. For tomorrow, partly sunny, with a 40% chance of showers, winds west-northwest at 15 to 25, and a high of 20. Saturday, cloudy, with a 40% chance of late-day showers, winds west-northwest at 20 to 35, a high of 22. Sunday, a 30% chance of early showers, then mainly sunny, a high of 18, and Monday, sunny, a high of 20. In the Paw, it's 21 degrees. Swan River, Show Lake, Russell, and Roblin are at 23. Dauphin and Brandon, 25. Regina and Indian Head, 23. Saskatoon, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, 20. Hudson Bay, 21. Broadview, Mooseman, 24. The Yorkton Melville region has a sunny sky, a west wind at 39, gusting to 67 kilometers an hour. 29% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 23 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for GX on Agriculture for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.
CJGX, a Harvard radio station serving Saskatchewan and Manitoba. We are GX94.